All right, welcome to Orphan Radio. This is Matt and Benji. We did a political episode a few months ago. We thought it was a good time to do another one because of the conventions going on right now. It's in the news constantly. You can't get away from it. I know you're in heaven. I'm almost done with it. I wanted to get your take on some things. I'm just going to kind of sit back and listen, ask you some questions, and let you go with it. Like I've said on other episodes, especially the past political episode we did, you know more about politics than anybody I know, including a lot of people on television, I think. So that's why I always try and get your opinion about this stuff. I know you're very partial to one side, but I think that you know enough about both sides and you listen to both sides that you can be objective. Agreed?
Oh, well, I mean, I would say that I'm definitely more opinionated than most people, you know, but as far as knowing more, I pay attention probably more than most people, and that's why I have a cumulative knowledge of it. But that was a nice Rocky IV shout out there.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, how do you like that intro music?
Sweet. I think that the thing for me is that I'm obsessed with politics, and I will never deny that I'm probably more obsessed than people should be, but, you know.
Like, do you get pleasure out of it? Is it fun? Because to me, like, if I was that into politics, I think it would just give me anxiety and make me angry about everything.
No, I have a lot of pleasure in it when we're not in the middle of an election cycle where people that don't know what the fuck they're talking about get involved in it. Then it's really, I have a lot of fun. I pay attention to it daily, 365 days a year. Year round, whether it be an election year or not. Where it gets annoying to me is where all these people pop up every 4 years and then they want to fucking tell me how it is, everything that I know is wrong, that this and that, and that I'm a fucking, you know, shill and all that. That's when it gets annoying to me. I'm ready for all those people to go back to not giving a shit and taking selfies, you know, and wherever. But
selfies
anyways,
at Applebee's?
Yeah, wherever the fuck they're doing it. You know, that's what I'm waiting for, because, you know, politics is, you know, it's more than just, you know, like a sport as far as picking a team. I mean, there are actual implications to the things that these people do and the decisions that they make. And, you know, we elect these people. Most of the people that I see on Facebook bitching and moaning about it, they can't tell you who one of their two U.S. senators are, but they're going to tell you how fucking horrible Hillary Clinton is, or the system, and how rigged it is, but they don't know shit, and they want to tell everybody, and it just, that just has what I think most people, why most people are exhausted this time around. I mean, if you listen to the far left and Republicans, you would think we live in this dystopian, like Mad Max world, and it's just not the reality of it. Yeah. You know, most people's lives are much better today than they were 8 years ago.
Well, I got, before we get into the specific party convention things over the past couple of weeks, I got a question for you from our friend Rob DePaola in Atlanta. He asked a question last time we did one too.
Right.
His question is, do you feel that the current two-party system is the best our country can do? If not, do you see things changing in our lifetime?
I absolutely believe 100% wholeheartedly in the two-party system for many, many reasons, the least of which is that, you know, or isn't that, you know, that's how it has been since day one, since this country was founded. Now, if you, you know, you listen to a lot of different perspectives from people and you can, you know, you can't really compare our system to the British system, and a lot of people love to do that, but the thing about it is that the only way that you really truly protect the minority is to ensure that they have a voice within the system altogether. Now, I don't personally think or believe in a system where a minority group like the fucking Libertarian Green Party should be able to dictate all of our laws and our foreign policy, our domestic policy, a small group of people that are pissed off and yell louder than everyone. I don't believe in that. I believe in a two-party system. You have a conservative party and you have a liberal party. If you go back and read John Stuart Mill's On Liberty, he talks about this in pretty extensively, but he talked about how when you have the two parties, you have each party keeping the other in check. Now, it does make for sort of a milquetoast, wishy-washy kind of progress, you know, progress is slow under that kind of system, or, you know, things don't get changed as quickly. But at the same time, it protects everyone. I mean, think about it. I mean, would you really want the Tea Party to fucking rule everyone? Would you really want some kind of fringe group within the two parties to dictate to everyone else? No, you wouldn't. Now, it sounds great when everybody tells everybody else how they know what's right for us, and they know, you know, like, I mean, I've had so many people just out liberal me over the past few months, and they're so much more progressive than me, and they're true progressives, and, you know, blah, blah, and the neoliberals and all this bullshit that has nothing to do with how our country actually works. And so, in all honesty, I think that if you have views that lean more towards the left, then I think a really good thing that you can do is get involved in democratic politics, get your people that agree with you elected within the party, and change the party, pull the party to the left, exactly what Bernie has done. You know, that was his whole mission. Now, unfortunately, the media created this entire fucking narrative that was total bullshit about him having a chance because they wanted ratings and they wanted to create this whole thing. The reality of it is he never had a chance. He was never going to win. And not because they rigged the system, not because they tipped the scale, but because he out of nowhere decides he's going to be a Democrat and expects that he should have the same type of voice, the same type of recognition within the party. And that's not how it works. It takes a long time to build those relationships. All of the southern states that support Hillary, largely African-American populations, they supported her because they know her. You can argue all day long whether or not she's good for them or whatever, but where the hell was Bernie? He wasn't down there going to their churches. Yeah, I know he marched with them 50 years ago. That's great. But what's he been doing since then? She was going to churches down there. She was meeting with people. She was working on these relationships within the Democratic Party. She wasn't trying to sabotage the party or change it. She was trying to work within the party. And I think that on the Republican side, it's the same thing. You don't want – look at what they're going through right now. Look at Trump. Trump is the quintessential third-party candidate. He doesn't represent the views of 90% of Republicans. But now he is their nominee because they ran 17 fucking people. Now, I don't like that idea. I mean, what happens when you have multiple parties, especially if you had like more than three or four, is a minority party is going to win and they're going to rule. And I just don't personally think that that's a good idea.
All right, take a deep breath. So let's get into the conventions. Last week was the Republicans in Cleveland. I'm sure you watched almost all of it, if not all of it. What did you think of it overall?
Well, I watched as much of it as I could, and I mean, it was pretty fucking boring at times. I mean, we're talking about, you got Chachi and I mean, Duck Dynasty. There was no substance. I mean, really, the only thing that I heard was Hillary for prison, lock her up. You know, I didn't hear any real solutions. I didn't hear any kind of, you know, any kind of real proposals that were going to change anything in our country. I think Donald Trump's speech was horrific, and I mean, just long and rambling. Mike Pence, I mean, how can
I was just going to ask you, what do you think of him?
How can you have any respect for that guy? I mean, I thought he was a piece of shit to begin with when he was a congressman. I hated him. But the fact that, I mean, that guy has, he's like a jellyfish. He has no spine. I mean, Donald Trump does not represent their supposed values. He just doesn't. He doesn't represent any values. I mean, if you take an issue, he has been on both sides of that issue multiple times. But I thought it was a complete shit show. The fact that you had Joni Ernst, the hog castrator, going on at like 11:30 at night. Everybody's fucking gone. They're leaving because they all got to get to bed. She's up there rambling on about whatever. And it was embarrassing to watch.
Right. Yeah, I heard some criticism about that they put her on late when she's supposed to be one of the rising stars in the party.
No, yeah, she was supposed to be there like up and comer, and literally when they pan to the crowd, it's like there's like literally no one there.
What do you think of Paul Ryan?
Oh, I think he's a piece of shit too. I have no respect for him. I think the fact that, you know, he claims to have all these values, and they, you know, they talk about values, but let's look at it this way. What do you think they would say about President Obama if he had five kids with three wives? Seriously. what do you think they would say about him? They have the things that they've said about this man who has impeccable, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, standards and ethics, the way that they treat him, but yet, and they talk about Bill Clinton and, you know, Donald Trump's talking about, you know, always loves to bring up Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton being, you know, unfaithful. But you think about the fact that Donald Trump has been married three times and has five different kids. And I'm not judging people for that. I'm saying, though, that it's a double standard. And Paul Ryan loves to talk about values, values. I mean, what the fuck does that even mean, honestly?
That's funny you said that, because Rob, who asked a question earlier, I was texting with him yesterday, and he said that this lady who he works with said, I just think that Trump believes in America. Like, what does that even mean?
No, he fucking doesn't. He says that let's make it great again. He talks about this place, honestly, like it's the worst fucking place on the planet, that we live in this, like, horrific, you know, like I said, Mad Max world. And it's like, no, he doesn't believe in America. Man, I last night, after the president's speech, man, I was bawling because of how beautiful our future can be, and because of the vision that the Democrats have and how we look at our country. I mean, that's patriotism. You know, it's not getting up there and disparaging, you know, the everyone because you don't agree with their politics or whatever. I mean, I look out in the crowd at the DNC and at their convention, and I see faces from you've got black folks, you've got Hispanic folks, you've got gay folks, you've got transgender people. You got people all across the spectrum of what America really truly looks like. At that Republican convention, it looked like a damn audience at Hee Haw.
All right, let's take a commercial break, all right?
All right.
Billy Dee Williams talks about the power of Colt 45.
You know, I've always heard about the power of Colt 45, but I was never sure exactly what that meant, so I got some, found out for myself.
Hey, Billy, you free tonight?
Works every time.
The dynamite taste of Colt 45, it works every time.
All right, we're back. That was a word from our sponsor. So, I noticed at the Republican convention, there were a lot of nicknames being thrown around, and I guess on the campaign trail the past couple months. What do you think of some of those, especially a lot of them that are originating from Donald Trump's mouth?
Oh, I thought they were hilarious. I really liked, like, Little Marco and Lion Ted Cruz. Those were all great. But the funny thing about it is, you know, now he's got Crooked Hillary and Pocahontas and Goofy Elizabeth. He has all these different names. The funny thing about it, though, is that so you had Little Marco and Lion Ted, but now, well, at least for a while, he was liking Ted again. He fucking loves those guys. They're all endorsing him, or at least, you know, Little Marco Rubio has endorsed him. Mm-hmm. And it's like the things that Marco Rubio said about Donald Trump, about him being a pathological liar. I mean, talking about his hands. So now that was just the primary, though. We can all – that was just politics at the time. Oh, but we're supposed to fucking believe you when you talk about Crooked Hillary. I mean, you can't believe any of the things that any of these people say, because they say all this shit, and then later on, the media just lets them get a total pass. I mean, honestly, the fact that Marco Rubio hasn't been completely grilled over all that shit is beyond me. He has come out and endorsed Donald Trump after saying the worst shit in the world, way worse than anything on the Democratic side. I mean, and now he's endorsing him, and everyone's like, oh, okay, well, that's okay now, because he endorses him. But yeah, Hillary is the biggest piece of shit in the world, and we should totally believe them when they say that.
What do you think of Ted Cruz's future after he did what he did last week?
Well, I think it could go a couple of ways. I mean, you know, obviously I hope that he has no future politically, and I would like to see Julian Castro challenge him in 2018 for his Senate seat, or Joaquin. I think Julian, I'm hoping that he will. But, you know, he could be the last man standing and you know, get the last laugh when he's right in the end and Trump gets his ass kicked and, you know, not like Mondale, but close, and loses, you know, a shitload of states and loses by, you know, how many ever hundreds of electoral votes. Cruz can be the one saying, aha, See, I told you guys, and you wouldn't listen to me. Now, he also pissed off a lot of people in the party, which is also hilarious, and I love it. And, you know, as much as I dislike that person and think he's a total scumbag, I got to give him some credit. You know, he did stand up to him at the convention and did not capitulate and endorse Trump. Right. Now, I think he did it for political reasons, and I don't think it's because he's this, you know, stalwart of you know, ethics and, you know, whatever, but they're all a bunch of losers, I mean, ultimately.
Now, earlier you said that you didn't like Mike Pence when he's a senator either. Tell us why.
A congressman?
Yeah, sorry.
He was on a couple of committees, and he would I don't know if he was on the Benghazi committee or one of those committees that went after Hillary. And he just, you know, he's just a typical right-wing asshole who, you know, he signed as governor. He's done a lot of terrible shit. But, you know, he's just one of those guys that you see on C-SPAN or whatever who always just says the worst shit about the president with, you know, no backing. It's all conjecture. And it just – so, you know, there's a lot of those guys that I just can't stand. And he happened – like, you know, Louis Gohmert and Tim Hulskamp and all those type of people.
All right. I'm glad you brought up Benghazi because – I feel like when you hear people say why they don't like Hillary, it's because of Benghazi and her emails. Now, what is your take? Now, be objective. What is your take on the Benghazi thing?
Benghazi is an extremely tragic situation. There were definitely some shortcomings from the State Department, some errors and mistakes that were made. Now, was it the worst absolute catastrophe in the history of our country and you know, all of these leaders in our country conspired to hide it and you know, try to change the narrative for political reasons? Absolutely not. I watched that shit in real time when it was happening because it was right in the middle of the 2012 presidential election. It was 2 months before the actual election. I remember when it happened. Before we even knew anyone fucking died, when they were rioting and they had breached the wall at, I think, an embassy in, I don't know if it was in Cairo or where, but there was shit going on all over the place. And Mitt Romney comes out and starts hammering the president and blah, blah, blah. Before we even knew anybody died, before Benghazi was even a word anyone knew, they were jumping on the president and blah, blah. And, you know, well, all of the early reports that I saw were about a damn video, and that shit spreads like wildfire. You know, the in Egypt, most of the television that most Arabs watch throughout the Middle East, or at least the Arabic language, is from Egypt. The dialect that they speak is you know, the dialect that most people, it's kind of like American English, so to speak, to English speakers. But that shit spread like wildfire, and, you know, a few people hear about the video and they start rioting and shit. Well, I think that in Benghazi, it started off as a demonstration, probably, I think, largely inspired by that video, whether the people there knew it or not. And it turned into a situation where some horrible people took advantage of a situation that was going on. And some Americans got killed, and it's tragic, and it's a horrific situation. Now, could we have deployed the fucking A-Team or G.I. Joe and gone over there and saved them all? Hell no. There was no way to get there. What were we going to do, just start bombing the town of Benghazi? I mean, they were talking about sending F-14s and shit over there. What are they supposed to do?
Yeah.
I mean, what it was, is it is a completely and totally politicized situation that was exploited for political reason, and they just won't let it die. It is over. It has been investigated, what, 9 times now? 7, 8, 9 times?
And they've spent millions of dollars on it.
Millions and millions of dollars. An extremely partisan congressional committee just spent 2 years on this shit and concluded that no new information was discovered. But all you got to do is say Benghazi and all hell breaks loose. It's sort of like when Sean Hannity used to have this, like, Tourette's type of thing with all of the different scandals, and he would say Fast and Furious, Benghazi, and start naming the IRS, and like none of that shit panned out. if they were so concerned, if any of those issues had really been real, don't you think they'd still be talking about them? No, President Obama's not running again. So none of those quote unquote scandals even matter anymore. And Benghazi's just another one of those. After this election, you know, obviously I'm not taking anything for granted, but hopefully when Hillary wins, you know, that's going to pretty much put to bed Benghazi. Now they'll bring it back again in 4 years, whatever, but it didn't work. And, you know, a lot of those guys are left with their dick in their hand, so to speak, and it's Benghazi.
What do you think about the chances of Trump winning this election are right now?
I mean, I honestly, as someone who pays close attention to these things, I follow the polls religiously daily, the ups and downs, all aspects of it. I don't really think he has a lot of a very big chance of winning. I mean, he would have to. What would have to happen is he would have to be able to run the table on a certain set of states that it's just not going to happen. I mean, if Hillary Clinton can hold on to the leaning Democratic states, the states that lean Democratic and the states that are, you know, largely going to go Democratic, like California, New York, Washington, Oregon, you know, there's a lot of other predictable states, Michigan, Wisconsin, but Florida's leaning Democrat. If she gets Florida and Tim Kaine helps her win Virginia, which is probably going to happen, it doesn't matter if Trump wins Ohio and a couple of other states that typically go Democratic. It won't matter. Mm-hmm. He could almost win Pennsylvania too, and it wouldn't mean anything. So I don't really think that there's a lot of a chance, a lot or a big chance, but the media is going to make us think until election day that this shit's, you know, could go either way. They're going to, you know, keep the narrative alive. They're going to still denigrate Hillary Clinton. They're going to let Donald Trump get away with all this bullshit, like calling upon a nation that we don't have the best relationship with to commit espionage against a former Secretary of State and private citizen due to political reasons. They're going to let him get away with this shit because he said he was joking. I mean, that's what has the reason why Donald Trump is the Republican nominee is because the media created him. They let him get away with this shit that would have buried any other candidate. Yeah. Oh, move on to the next thing. I mean, he basically, you know, didn't like the questions that Megyn Kelly gave him and accused her of being on her period. And she fucking loves him now.
Yeah.
You know, she'll have him on there and they'll play, you know, whatever. And that's my point is that it's like he can say whatever he wants about anyone. Like, it's like he's right when he says, I could go out onto Fifth Avenue and just start shooting people and I wouldn't lose any voters.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I mean, that's where we're at. So, I mean, I guess to sum it up somewhat, I think he has a chance, but I really think it's a long shot.
All right. I got another question for you. I've been listening to a lot of right-wing radio lately because I love it. Actually, it's terrifying, but I like to listen to it. But they were taking calls last night on one of the shows I was listening to, and this guy said that he's gay and he thinks that Hillary Clinton won't be an effective president because she's not strong enough on terrorism and terrorists are going to start targeting gays.
I mean, that's just laughable ultimately. I mean,
and the radio show host was like, yeah, it's a really good point. I agree with you.
Yeah. I love how the Republicans are now the champions of the LGBTQ community. I love how they're the champions now. No, I mean the log cabin Republicans and Geo Proud and all those fucking groups, you know, I mean, I don't begrudge them for having views different than me. And of course, you know, they're allowed to believe whatever they want. And as someone who's straight, it's, you know, who am I to tell anyone that's gay or transgendered or bi or whatever, who they shouldn't and should or shouldn't vote for based on their sexuality. But I think the record is pretty clear historically. I mean, on which side actually has the best interest for the LGBTQ community.
Right.
I mean,
well, hasn't Mike Pence been crusading?
He signed that shit into law that basically – said that if you were an employer, you could fire someone for being gay because of your fucking religion.
Yeah.
I mean, he signed that shit into law. I mean, seriously. It's like, oh, yeah, but we're going to protect you from fucking terrorists. Okay, cool. Well, take all my other rights, you know, fucking ruin my life in every single other way, but talk tough on terror and shit, I'll vote for you.
What do you think about that argument where people say, people on the right say that the Obama administration and now Hillary will not, and they're not tough on terror and they don't even acknowledge it.
And they won't say the term Islamic extremist terrorism.
Yeah.
It's total bullshit and it means nothing. And all they want to do is fucking offend everyone they possibly can. I mean, you know, did you hear them calling Timothy McVeigh an extreme Christian terrorist? No, of course not. But that's what it was.
Yeah.
Or what was the guy? Scott Roeder, the guy who shot Dr. Tiller in Wichita. Did they call that extreme right-wing Christian terrorism?
What about the guy in Charleston, South Carolina?
Exactly. That guy. Did they call him an extreme Christian terrorist, even though he was into all that Christian identity bullshit? No. They didn't. They don't call any of that shit that stuff. Or that fucking lunatic that shot up the Sikh temple in Milwaukee all those years ago, or how many ever years ago that was, that fucking skinhead dude. Did they call that, and he was an identity, that's that Christian identity bullshit. Did they call that that? No, of course not.
No, but back to the other question, though, like, what do you actually think about, have they been good enough on, or have they been strong enough on fighting that stuff and fighting terrorism, or have they totally dropped the ball?
Well, that's the thing about what's going on right now. ISIL, ISIS, whatever you want to call it, the situation in Syria and Iraq and the Middle East and in Belgium and France and Germany, all of the terrorism that's occurring, all of these fucking lunatics here, it is a clusterfuck to end all clusterfucks. There is not a simple solution. There just isn't. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunately probably a generational thing. But simply criticizing the president and the current administration isn't a solution to the problem. I mean, that's the thing. Donald Trump says, oh, we're going to be so good on terror. We're going to be bigly good on it. Oh, yeah, we're going to, it's going to be terrific. You'll see. But he doesn't even understand any of the conflict. He doesn't know the difference between Sunni and Shia. He doesn't understand any of that actual conflict or why it's called ISIL versus ISIS. He doesn't understand that. And so basically,
he doesn't even want to know.
No, and he doesn't want to know. It's all a bunch of rhetoric that he throws out there to get these fucking idiots charged up. And, you know, I can tell you, I've been in the lion's den. I went to a Trump rally.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
And it was fucking terrifying. And, you know, we all got thrown out, and that's what we went there to do. And we were, you know, we went in, did what we needed to do, and got out. But while we were in line, and I had to stand in line by myself for the most part because I was waiting on the other people I was with. They were making signs and stuff, and so I held all of our place in line. And I had to pretend for a little bit to not necessarily be one of these people, but to at least be able to tolerate the shit I was hearing. And it was fucking horrible. You know, it was just an ugly situation, and these people are the lowest common denominator, and that's who he's appealing to. And do you really think Donald Trump gives a shit about a bunch of dumbass rednecks?
No.
No, he doesn't give a flying fuck about any of those people. But he knows they're stupid. I mean, he said it himself. I love the poorly educated. And he does. Yeah. Because they'll vote for him. All he has to do is get them fired up. None of it. It's a total scam. I mean, it's like Marco Rubio said, Donald Trump is a con artist.
What do you think of Mike? Actually, let's take a break, and then we will get to the Democratic convention next. How you want to do that?
Yep.
All right.
3 a.m. Good thing Vegas is open all night.
I'm sorry, honey. This just doesn't do it.
Doesn't do it?
Doesn't have the taste I won't live without.
You wouldn't do without the taste of White Castle hamburgers back east, before we got married, before you got pregnant. Besides, they don't sell White Castles out here.
I know. I'll call Daddy.
White Castle has the taste some people won't live without. So aren't you glad they're near you?
It's for my daughter in Vegas. I told her not to move away.
All right, we're back again, Matt and Benji. Now, let's move on to the Democratic convention that's still going on in Philadelphia right now. What do you think of it so far?
Oh, I'm super proud of my party. I think they've done an amazing job despite some, you know, hiccups here and there. But I think it's been an amazing – I mean, look at that compared to that shit show last week.
What do you think about the I mean, I don't think it was that big of a deal, but the you know, the news and everything made a big deal out of it. But what do you think about the Bernie supporters on Monday? What do you think about those people?
Let me try to be as objective as I possibly can. I just think that a lot of those people are ill-informed and behaving like spoiled, rotten kids that didn't get their fucking way, honestly. Yeah. You know, that's why a primary is not supposed to be a death match. It's not a fight to the death. You know, in 2008, I was a huge supporter of President Obama. I also love Hillary Clinton. I was very torn, but because I had told President Obama when he was Senator Obama to run for president when we met him in 2006, you know, I've really loved him, and I've been a big fan of him, as you know, because you got me that sign in 2004 during the Senate race.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Chicago.
Right. I've been a huge fan of him since the first time I saw him on Tavis Smiley during that 2004 Senate race. I just thought, wow, what an awesome guy. I felt like there was something there and that someday he might be the president. I went and bought his book, and then he gave that keynote address at the 2004 convention. And ever since then, I've been supporting him for president in 2008. Well, you know, I wanted him to win. But I also was okay with Hillary Clinton winning because I also loved her as well. Now, I won't lie. I did get a little upset with the Clintons and specifically Bill during that race because he did say some shit that I just wasn't all that thrilled about. But in the end, she turned around the day after she dropped out. She put on an Obama button and worked her ass off to get him elected. That's what we do. That's the difference. A lot of these Bernie or bust people, they don't give a shit about any of – I mean, some of them. Obviously, most – 90% of Bernie supporters are voting for Hillary Clinton, and most of them are decent people. They just had a different candidate than I, you know, and it's not like I mean to disparage all of them because they supported Bernie Sanders. But all of these fucking assholes like Susan Sarandon and Nina Turner and all these people raising hell because their person didn't win.
Wait, what is Susan Sarandon doing? I don't even know.
Oh, she is the fucking worst, dude. And just on a side note, Tim Robbins. I've always loved him as an actor. I've loved his films. I've admired him, and I did admire Susan Sarandon for a long time as well. You know, Tim Robbins basically said about South Carolina that it shouldn't count. The primary there should not count because it's a red state. I didn't hear him bitching about Kansas or fucking Nebraska or Idaho, but no, South Carolina shouldn't matter. That's kind of seems to me like code for something, honestly. But so what that basically is saying, when you hear all these Bernie or Busk people talking about the South, that shit was getting so old during the primary. The fucking red South, yeah, the heavily red South, you know, once we get to the North, which never ever happened. But when they were talking about the South, they were talking about states where the Democratic electorate is heavily, and in some cases, a majority African American. So what they're basically saying is none of those people votes matter because they live in red states. Never mind the fact that they send fucking champions to Congress like James Clyburn and John Lewis and people like that who represent their communities in Congress. Okay, no, never mind that. Those states are going to go red. Just like I didn't hear any of these people bitching about these undemocratic caucuses in places like Kansas where disabled people like my mom couldn't participate. She happened to be in the hospital that weekend, and normally she gets her ballots in the mail because she's got MS and she can't just jump up and sit around for 5 hours to get yelled at by a bunch of fucking Bernie supporters, which is what happened in all the caucuses. I've talked to people that were Bernie supporters, and they even admitted to me that it was a clusterfuck and it was really ugly if you were a Hillary supporter and most of them. Now, I didn't hear them bitching about that, but now suddenly Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the devil. Let's fucking get the tar and feathers because she apparently had a preference. I mean, yeah, those emails were stupid, and those people that sent those emails, you know, should probably be reprimanded, if not fired. But it didn't affect the outcome of the election. And so their bullshit little protests, getting up and yelling and screaming, all that makes them look like is entitled assholes who can't accept that they lost. And they did lose. And honestly, to those people, you know, I'm sorry that you lost, and it sucks. But you know what? Bernie won, because Bernie pulled the party further to the left. More of what he wanted to go into the platform was put in there because of the race that he ran. And he handled it like a true champion, and I take my hat off to him and commend him for doing the right thing in the end. And another thing is that if all of his supporters that are raising hell and yelling and pouting and throwing a fit, if those people really believed so much about what he said and that he was their only hope and the champion and fucking Bernie Sanders and you know, all the different cartoon images they made of him, if they really believe all that shit, why don't they believe him now?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because the thing about Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins, because that kind of really liberal elite really kind of makes me want to puke.
Oh, it's disgusting to me. And it's honestly, I don't really want those people in the Democratic Party, and they don't belong in our party. I mean, you know, just because we're not a fucking radical left, far left party doesn't mean that we're neocons or that we're, you know, whatever, the establishment. You know, a lot of, you think about when they criticize, like for example, the liberal elites, like Tim Robbins, when he did pull all that shit and talk shit about South Carolina. It's like, you know why David Duke, honestly, do you know why David Duke did not become the governor of Louisiana when he ran?
Why?
Because black folks showed up and voted against him.
Yeah.
He won, like, I think it was Orleans Parish or one of the parish. He won the white vote there by like 56 points or something. It's insane. He won the woman vote. I mean, the reason why David Duke did not become governor is because of black folks voting against him. Now, it's the same reason why that lunatic, I can't remember his name now, in Mississippi, that primary Thad Cochran and should have won the primary. And did by a point, but luckily it was in the margin that caused there to be a runoff. And you know what? Black folks showed up and voted for Thad Cochran, who, you know, doesn't really have their best interest at heart. But they knew that he was better than the other guy. So when people start talking shit about people in the South and these liberal elites think that if you don't vote the way they do, then you're a fucking shill, and anything right of where they are is right wing. It's just insane. And you know what? To all those people, I say, go waste your fucking vote on Jill Stein, please.
Well, and it's like they don't have to live in those states.
No, they don't. They don't have to live there. And it's real easy when, you know, that I saw something the other day that said, you know, white privilege is being able to vote to vote on principle when you know that the outcome won't affect you in the end. And that's basically what it comes down to. I mean, I belong to a union, you know, and I work for the government. Now, obviously, nothing I'm saying during this entire thing has anything to do with the capacity of me working for the government. I want to get that out there. That is completely separate, and I'm talking as a private citizen. But I belong to a union, and it's really important to me. And what my union does for me and our members and working people across the board is pretty important. And when I'm it seems condescending when I get all these people coming at me, telling me how Hillary's just a Republican light and Tim Kaine's a Republican and blah, fucking blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, it's really easy to say that shit when the outcome of the election won't affect you either way.
Right.
I mean, right now, honestly, if there's not, if they continue to do these continuing resolutions as is, with the federal budget, as they've been doing the past few years, this year, federal employees will be furloughed for at least 3 days minimum. That's with nothing changing. That's if they do everything like they continue doing. And I mean, seriously, there are a lot of things that are very important in this election, the least of which is not the Supreme Court. It's another thing. Fucking Jill Stein. You know, first of all, the anti-vaxxer bullshit, and she's basically a libertarian, and I have no use for libertarians. I'm sorry, her and Gary Johnson. Actually, you know what? I have more respect for Gary Johnson than I do for Jill Stein. You know, Gary Johnson's not calling for Hillary Clinton to be put in prison. He's not calling her a felon. You know, Jill Stein says the most horrible shit. She might as well be a right winger. But her politics do not align with Bernie. Why do you think Bernie didn't go jump over to the Green Party? It's because he's not a Green Party member, and he doesn't align. His politics don't align with him. But all those assholes who are out there threatening to go do it, I say go for it, because 90% of Bernie's supporters have already said they're going to vote for Hillary anyways. So if you want to waste your vote, I say go for it, but don't keep telling everybody else how fucking horrible everyone else is, because it's condescending to the people out there that their lives are really affected by the outcome of this. You know, think about a Hispanic family where, you know, your mom and dad are here illegally and you're in school and your parents could get potentially, you know, deported back to wherever they came from if Donald Trump gets elected. Now, well, but I voted for Jill Stein, man, because, you know, I stand for principle. Your principle doesn't really fucking matter in the end, honestly.
You know, something I forgot to ask you earlier that's really important that we haven't brought up yet is, did you see Boulevard Wheat Beer change their logo?
I did.
What do you think about that?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's okay. I don't really have a...
Not that passionate about that, huh?
No, I really don't give a shit. I mean...
Okay.
I drink wheat. I prefer wheat if I'm going to drink Boulevard. And I prefer Modelo Especial and Corona, typically. Cerveza.
Yeah. I like Mexican beer, too.
Pretty much, you know, that's what I prefer anymore. I don't even hardly drink PBR anymore, which is, you know, kind of crazy. I grew up on that stuff.
Do you ever go to Galooly's down the street anymore?
Not much. I've been there a handful of times since you moved away, honestly.
Well, when I come back in September, we'll go.
Yeah, we absolutely have to. But
all right, back to politics.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what do you think of Tim Kaine? He's from Kansas City. What do you think of him? What do you think of his speech last night?
You know, to be honest with you, when she picked him, I was disappointed. I was hoping for Julian Castro or Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren largely because I think she's a badass, and I think she would have helped maybe unify the party a little better. But, you know, I think after Tim Kaine's speech, his introduction speech, you know, I really felt like she made the right choice, and I think he's a badass. I thought his speech last night was a little doughy and needs a little work, but he'll get it out there on the stump. And, you know, that's a pretty, you know, tough place to put someone with such short notice. I mean, yeah, he probably had a, you know, knew that he was being vetted, but when you actually get picked, that's a lot to do to a person. But I think he's a great guy. I think he's a sincere person. I think he's on the right side of pretty much every issue, despite what some Bernie person might say about, fuck that, he's pro-life and blah, blah. Or, I mean, a person can be pro-life as an individual and in theory, but be pro-choice as a matter of legislature and legislating, I guess. I mean, you don't have to, you know, you can be a Catholic or a religious person and be against abortion, but also want to protect a woman's right to choose and make her own healthcare choices. I think Tim Kaine's made that pretty clear, although a lot of people want to try to call him out and say, oh, he's, you know, and, you know, he voted for Fast Track for TPP. Okay. He, you know, probably doesn't, you know, regrets that at this point because it's not politically expedient. But at the same time, he's not going to be perfect on every issue, and no one is, nor was Bernie. You know, Bernie voted against the Brady Bill 5 times. He voted to give immunity to gun manufacturers and dealers. I mean, you know, no one is perfect. And to claim that anyone is just complete bullshit.
Right. Do you see that thing that happened last night, the North Carolina GOP put out something?
About the Honduran flag.
I mean, this is like pretty typical of today's Republicans, but they try and latch on to things that they don't even know what it is, and they freak out and try and cause hysteria before they even know what it is. Tell people what that was.
It was a flag that was for the his son's a Marine, and he was
his son's a deployed Marine.
Right. And he was going to whatever the NATO thing to support NATO forces. I didn't read up exactly what the flag. I read.
I think
more,
it's a blue star.
Right. It looks whatever it is. It's a little flag that had something to do with his kid going off to support NATO forces as a Marine. And the North Carolina delegation freaked out and were saying that it was the Honduran flag and all this bullshit.
And they called it a disgrace.
A disgrace. And it's like, come on. I mean, that's what I'm saying. And honestly, I see a lot of that on the far left too. I mean, you know, you go around and everybody meets on the other side. And to me, far left, far right, the rest of us are trying to fucking get along and figure out a way to make this country work. Instead of bitching and moaning, looking for every reason to disparage someone, whether that be Hillary Clinton or whomever, it's like, you know, there are Republicans out there that aren't bad people. Look at like Jeff Flake from Arizona. You know, when he found out that Tim Kaine was the pick, he goes, oh, I'm racking my brain to try to find something negative to say about Tim Kaine. Well, I'm drawing a blank. Congrats to a really good guy. Even Lindsey Graham praised Tim Kaine. Now, you get your people on the left. That's because they're fucking – he's a Republican, blah, blah. No, it's because he's a good person, and he may not agree with them on every issue. But we don't – politics doesn't have to be this hate fest where everybody hates the other side and so on and so forth. It's, you know, unfortunately, because of the presidency of Barack Obama, I think that a lot of people on the right just took the whole opposing side thing to on steroids and kind of – you know, we all know what they've done to the president and the disgrace that is. And, you know, I think that it is time for us to start trying to figure out common solutions and working together. And that means sometimes we might have to make some concessions on some things. I mean, if the Republicans had played their cards right a long time ago, they could have got this chain CPI bullshit with Social Security done. But because they wouldn't do it, they wouldn't accept it, it wasn't enough, they ended up getting nothing. And, you know, it's the same thing that happens to the left. You know, think about all those proud Nader voters in 2000. Oh, I'm standing up for principle. What'd we get? We got 8 years of Bush. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
Fortunately, they're not that important this time. So, you know, vote for who you want.
Yeah. So, we could wrap it up here in a minute. I just want to get your overall thoughts on Hillary. I know you're a big supporter of hers. Are there any things that you know, just tell us what you think about her, what you don't, if there are things that you don't like about her, however you want to go with it.
Oh, I love Hillary Clinton. I've been a huge fan of her since I was a kid. When Bill Clinton got elected in 92, I've been in love with him ever since. And her as well. I thought they were, when they were in the White House, I was proud, you know, to be a Democrat. And then, you know, the Monica Lewinsky thing, you know, obviously I hated that and it sucked. And I hate the fact that, you know, Bill wasn't faithful to her and, you know, but I don't know the dynamics of their relationship and I'm not going to claim to. And she stood by him for whatever reason. Who the fuck are we to judge that? You know, Newt Gingrich, who, you know, championed the fucking impeachment, was cheating on his second wife when that was going on, and he was disgraced and, you know, got ran out of town. So, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone or whatever. But, you know, I thought that sucked, but I have followed Hillary ever since then. I think I sent her $25 for her Senate campaign in 2000 and, or was it 2006? One of those, cause I have a sign that I got in the mail, at that point. But I love her. I think she's great. Is she the most slick politician? No. Is she the most crafty? No. But is she a liar and a con artist and a cheat and all these horrible things they say about her? No, she's not. She said it the best recently when she said, am I careful with my words? Yes, I am careful with my words. And you know why she's careful with the words? Because she has to be. Because every single thing she says is scrutinized over and over. All of her life has been under a microscope. And, you know, it's unfair. There is a standard for her that no one else in politics has ever had to live up to. And the best thing about it is she wins every time. Aside from 2008 and that primary, and even then she won, she became the Secretary of State. I mean, as much as all the haters or whoever, whatever, you know, go after her, she always wins. So, you know, I think she's a strong leader. I think I agree with her position on almost every issue. You know, obviously there's probably going to be some things that I'm not going to agree with her on across the board. But do I trust her with a woman's right to choose? Of course I do. Do I trust her on LGBT issues? Of course I do. Do I trust her on Supreme Court justices? Of course I do. Do I trust her on labor laws and trade? Of course I do. Now, does that mean she's always going to do the perfect right thing? No, but I trust her on all of those issues. Do I trust her with the conflicts in the Middle East? Of course I do. She knows many of those leaders and has worked with them. Do I trust her in dealing with Russia? Of course I do. I mean, I could keep going down the list. I have a lot of faith in her as a leader. That is something that a lot of people that oppose her don't stop to think about. You know, who the fuck is Jill Stein? Do you really think that she's capable of running this country? You know, I mean, it just, oh, but she believes this. It's like, oh, well, I'm going to vote for unicorns because they're pretty. It just doesn't. The reality of it is that Hillary Clinton, as President Obama said last night, is in fact the most qualified person to ever run for that office. And more so than him, more so than Bill, more so than anyone. And not to mention the fact that, you know, I'm very, very proud of my party and hopefully of my country that we will finally elect a woman to the highest office. Now, a lot of people say, well, we shouldn't vote for her just because she's a woman. That's not why we're fucking voting for her. We're voting for her because she's the most qualified person to run for the office. But the fact that she's a woman is a big damn deal, and people need to get over it.
I'm still kind of pissed that Rick Santorum still isn't in the running.
I know, man. I can't believe he got out so soon.
All right, well,
whatever happened to Rand Paul? Is he even alive anymore?
Who cares? All right, well, let's wrap it up. Any final thoughts?
No, just, you know, vote your conscience, as Ted Cruz says. You know, I never thought I would ever agree with anything Ted Cruz said, but, you know, like he said at their convention, vote your conscience. And I don't care if that's for Hillary or Jill Stein or Gary Johnson or write-in Mickey Mouse or Bernie or Trump or whatever. Vote your conscience.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Benji, and let's close it out with another song from Rocky IV. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, see ya.
All right.